Good morning and welcome to Mid Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. 90.3 WBCL thanks you for your financial support. And the area businesses that team with you, like The Child Within, Dolls, handmade doll clothes and accessories produced in Montgomery, Michigan and sent around the nation. You can find out more on our business partners page at WBCL.org. Today is the third Tuesday of the month, and that means Dr. Mitch Cruz is with us. He's the author of Restoration Road and host of the TV show The Restoration Road. You can go to MitchCruz.com for the complete list of stations that air his show and for more information about his ministry. You can also link to Mitch's website from the mid-morning schedule page. Merry Christmas, Mitch.
Merry Christmas, Lynn.
Did you notice through that window that Santa is looking at us?
He is.
There's a gigantic Santa on the house next door to the radio station, and it has been there since we moved into this building in 1987.
Wow.
It covers the huge window that's on their second stairway.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you're walking down the hallway at the station, he's looking in.
Hello, Santa.
It's a little bit disconcerting. I don't think he has a twinkle in his eye. There's just something else going on there. Yes.
He looks like he had a beverage. Look at him. You know, he kind of looks, I wonder if that was like a famous
rendering of him?
Yeah,
yes.
Because I feel like we had pillows that would come out when I was little, like maybe five, out on the sofa that looked like that.
Really? And if I have my story right, the people that own that house, when they sold it, the people that bought it then had to, as part of the condition of the contract, put up that Santa every year. So we watched them with a cherry picker last week, put it up.
Oh, really?
That has nothing
That's
to do with
serious.
Today's show, but anyway.
It could.
Have you been in a cherry picker?
I was inviting the tour in here, but they didn't want to come in.
Have you been up in a cherry picker? I
no,
think that would
I don't
be fun.
Want
just
to.
Why?
No, I don't want to. It makes me nervous. My dad gave me a big speech on ladders when I was little, and now I know so many people who have been hurt on ladders that I just kind of don't want to do that thing where it's possible you could fall out. I auctioned a hot air balloon ride that sounded really cool.
Yes.
I didn't want to do it. No way, no how.
But a ladder is, I mean, there's a lot that can go wrong with a ladder.
You but have not to, a cherry picker?
Well, there are some things I'm sure that could go wrong with a cherry picker. But I think for most people with a ladder, they don't really take the time to secure it properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
I think that's why accidents happen. They've got it, you know, one leg is sort of wonky and whatever, and they think, well, you know, it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then their weight shifts on top, and then they think, oh, I can leap from here to there.
Yeah. One of my very good friends, I gave him his first job out of college. He's now communications director for Anderson University, his alma mater. Very routine deal on a ladder. Mm-hmm. He goes down, hits his head. He's in a coma, and we don't know what's going to happen
Are
with
you
him.
Kidding?
No, for weeks. Miracle, he's fine now. But they just sometimes they do the induced coma,
yes.
You know, to protect from damage. But it's that stuff's just scary to me. And I just heard of another one. So
no
That's
ladder,
why I'm not in the
cherry picker or
why
balloon ride.
I do the ladder thing. I'm
Christmas.
Just very careful. Hey, come here and hold this thing.
Can you believe it? We're at verse number 12.
Makes no sense. This year has flown by faster than anything I think ever. Everybody tells me that as you get older, a year is a lower percentage of your life, so they seem to go quicker. But this year, for some reason, has just flown by. If you walked in and told me this morning July was 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, was that a dream?
Yeah.
It is. Isn't it amazing how fast it went?
I know it. The space between holidays seems to be compressing.
Yes.
It's just crazy, but yeah. But you turned 50 this year, too.
Come on! Okay, so I'm driving my 6th grade girls basketball team to practice yesterday, and somebody says something about her mom and her age and all that kind of stuff, and she's in the back. And so I said, hey, what'd you say about your mom? Which one of you said that? And she said, yeah, my mom's 50. I go, oh, she's my age? And I hear a girl go, what?! Are you that old? We thought, and so they thought I was a lot younger because the way I act.
Yes.
So I kind of started backing off what I said to kind of see if they would guess how old I was. And some who, the girl right behind me who went, what? She said, you already said what you were, but everybody else was guessing low 40s. So I was trying to do the Dutch auction. I said, they may think I'm 35. 33? Come on. And anyway, we had a lot of fun with that. But yeah, I can't believe that's true either. But you know, I'm not sure, but I think on my elliptical, if I enter my age higher, I burn more calories. So that was the only good thing that came out of it.
I would think if it, you would enter it lower to burn more calories.
Maybe I forgot the zero. I don't know.
So you're not burning really anything. It's been a waste of time all week long. You want to check that when you get back home. So we are to verse number 12 of our Love, Learn, Live the Word invitation to memorize one verse of Scripture each month, and then during that month, ask the Lord to let you know Him through the verse. So, Mitch, what has it meant to you to select, study, and present these verses to us?
Oh, it's so much pressure to live it. I mean, if you love it and you learn it, you're going to have a more likelihood that you will live it. My Uncle Darrell always told me, you know, if you learn this, if you memorize it, then the chances are much higher that you'll actually apply it to your life. I've never forgotten that. Try to remember that every time I teach kids especially. And that's what it's meant to me, is a stronger focus on the Word every day.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing, too, is I put a quote up by Mother Teresa this morning, and it's just so incredibly wise, and I was reminded again that the connection between knowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to you and giving you wisdom to use in your mm-hmm. life, not only directing your own life, but to share with others. And that's really powerful.
My brother says, before you read the Bible, you should pray to God, God, is there anything you want me to know, do, or change? Mm. And, you know, the Word is a means to God. And the Holy Spirit uses it powerfully in our own lives, and then when we share it with others in their lives as well, and then they can pay it forward in someone else's life. And it's just a powerful, powerful thing.
So how do these verses, and we have more than 12 because some of them were continued thoughts, I don't mean to harp on that. I'm not harping on it. I'm just pointing that out. How do these verses fit together to tell God's story and also our part in it?
It was so hard to get them down to 12. I forgot what you asked.
How do the verses fit together to tell God's story and our part in it?
I started with a theological framework on why I would pick verses. And then what happened as I narrowed them down to 25 was, man, there are a lot in there that come up when people are asking for some wise counsel that seem to come up quite frequently. Mm-hmm. Today is another one of those. So I started filtering through that grid. And what's been powerful to me is it reveals the concept that this is about a relationship, not religion. You cannot just go do these things on your own and expect to really have any life transformation. A couple things might work out a little better for you, but at the end of the day, it's predicated on a fully surrendered relationship with God. And again, it's a means to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. And that's really the difference. The Bible is the most magnificent piece of literature ever written in the world. It's God-inspired through men, and every archaeological discovery has authenticated what the Word says about history. It's just incredible, absolutely incredible.
If you missed any of the previous conversations this year, and also the worksheets, they're up and available on the off of the Mid-Morning homepage. So WBCL.org, click on Programs, then Mid-Morning, and on the right side of the page, you'll see a link for regular guests. So click on that, and then Mitch, and you'll find everything right there. And I highly suggest you do that, not because it's Mid-Morning, but because I know the power of memorizing Scripture. You know, I finally came back to the Lord years ago and said, I just want to know you. I don't know what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I just want to know you. And started spending time in His Word and then started memorizing it because I didn't have my Bible with me all the time. And on the air sometimes I would think, I know there's a verse about this that I could share at this point in time. And or talking to somebody, and I just began to memorize the Word. And it was the vehicle that God has used to not only allow me to know Him, but for the Spirit to transform. And that's what we want. We can't do that on our own. And mm-hmm. as much as we want it, and we like to do it faster, it happens in real time by the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is a part of that. So, Mitch, of all the verses that we have learned, as I was reading through them, I got to the second verse we learned, which is Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. I think of all the verses we looked at this year, this has been the most practical and mm-hmm. realigning verse
mm-hmm. You wouldn't
for
think
me.
So. You think, oh yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah. But your explanation of it, if you'll go back and just sort of tell us, give us an example of how this verse works in everyday life.
Well, every time we get up in the morning, we kind of go on our own agenda. And if we're not careful, we will be God in our own lives. We go on autopilot. We're trying to accomplish the tasks that we have, especially if you're a list maker or your calendar is full of appointments. And then you run out of your house and you see something that you want to be perfect and it's not. And if you're not careful, your house could be your God, and everything that you do and decide is so that your house is perfect. You can do that with your children. Your children need to be perfect, and then they can be your God. They got to be first. They got to be tops. They got to be best. They got to get all A's. They got to have the part in the play. They got to score the most points. They have to have the highest batting average. They have to have the most kills. And you just go down that road. Then you get in your car, and that car, there's a risk that car can be God in your life, especially if it's a Ferrari or something like that. You know, you can go down that road, and it can be about having more and having the best and having the fastest. You can go to your business, and your business can be God in your own life. And you just go through the whole day, and you can run into another thing that can be God in your life, the attention of the opposite sex, the thrill of the next deal, the ticks in the bank account, the increase in the stock portfolio. All those things have a risk of being God in your life. And that's why you can either own the stuff or the stuff can own you. You can steward the gifts, or you can be controlled by them. You're either going to trust in the giver or you're going to trust in the gifts. And that is a battle since the first sin, really, that goes inside each one of us. Galatians says, Paul writes that the spirit, capital S, and our sinful nature are in conflict with each other. Two objects attempt to occupy the same space at the same time. So I think it's so practical to filter every thought, every feeling, every choice, every prayer through God being Lord of my life and nothing or no one else.
What I remember most of that conversation on that second show was when you talked about conversations with people and trying to win that conversation, that you make putting that person in their place or winning the conversation or persuading someone to do what you want or whatever, you make that a God. So you talked about before you have a conversation, you know, what's your perspective going in? And that has really stayed with me.
That must have been a God thing because I don't remember saying that. But what I do remember is it only takes about 5 seconds to be Holy Spirit led. And you take that 5 seconds before a text, before an email, before a conversation, and say, hey, God, what do you want me to do? And that can be life changing.
Another one for me was Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You explained that offensive as being double-minded. And that was another one for me that I went, oh, I hadn't really, I looked at the word offensive in terms of vulgar thoughts or those kinds of things. Yeah. But double-mindedness, it's a big deal for God when
big
we're double-minded.
Time. It's almost a prayer that we should say every night before we go to bed and just have a clean slate with God and maybe even start every day with that. You're my good friend, Larry Lance, of Youth for Christ, gets up every morning, and on his very first step, he asks God, he calls it a step of faith, he asks God if there's anything like that. In essence, he prays that those two verses, and he wants it fixed right there on the spot. So he'll go do any reconciliation that he needs to do on his first step.
And then another one for me was last month's, which was 1 Peter 2:23. When they hurled insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. It's a verse I think of at Easter time, but don't look at that as sort of a daily kind of thing, because very few people hurl insults at me, though I do get some. But for this one, it was the aha for me was the whole idea of entrusting, which you really emphasized last month, but releasing the burden to make other people understand and releasing the burden to set things right now.
If you're wired where you have a fear of being misunderstood and you prefer to be right and you want things to be right, that's a real challenge. But I think the key concept there is that we entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. It's my whole person. And that really takes the pressure off. That's a whole different concept than just entrusting the offense. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's bigger. And so I think that's important, is that we realize it's almost to the point where someone insults. Well, Peter says this in 1 Peter 4:14, that if you're insulted or persecuted for advancing the cause of Christ, you're blessed, you're restored, because the Holy Spirit rests on you or restores you. And so it's almost like they're insulting God when it's for those purposes. I mean, we create enough problems left to ourselves that we might warrant some of that stuff, but or be a catalyst toward it. But when it happens because you're advancing the kingdom, it's almost like they're throwing that at God, not you, really.
You're listening to Mid-Morning. It's 17 minutes after the hour of 10 on this Tuesday morning. And Dr. Mitch Cruz is with us today. He joins us the third Tuesday of every month. And he's coming back in 2016.
He's back.
That's a promise, not a threat.
Thank you.
At about 10:25, we'll open the phone lines for your questions. And you can ask Mitch anything. If you've got a question about the Bible, about your relationship with God, if you've got an issue with your spouse or somebody at work, and you just want some godly counsel, this is the chance to ask that at about 10:25. But you can begin to email those questions. MidMorningLive@WBCL.org, and Facebook is another way to ask those questions. Don't touch the flame.
Okay. Just had to know.
There's a fake candle in front of Mitch. And
it's quite intriguing.
It looks real.
It's unbelievable.
I know it. Well, let's talk about our last verse, because in November it was from 1 Peter, so I thought you'd move, I don't know, into 1 John.
But I wanted to go to James bad.
Yes. But you know what? What is it about Peter's epistles that just, I mean,
they're
they
incredible.
Just capture.
Mm-hmm. Almost
your
well,
heart.
I'm going to say almost every single verse is powerful. I feel like I share this parable at least once a year, but it's so powerful. I think it's the talk that Tim Keller gave, Dr. Tim Keller, about 20 years ago that really just kind of pushed me over the edge of, I got to become a carrier of this message. And he said there was a peasant who had a garden next to the king, next to the king's land, and the peasant gave him a carrot, and his prize carrot was the best that he had out of his garden. And the king said, "Thank you. Don't I know you?" And he said, "Well, I have the garden next to your property." And he said, "You know, I really appreciate this. I'm gonna give you 100 acres. And so a nobleman's looking on, and he said, "If you get 100 acres for a carrot, I wonder what you get for a horse." So he goes to the king and he gives him a horse. And the king says, "Thank you," and starts to walk away. And as you're not supposed to in the day, the nobleman says to the king, "Hey, wait a minute." He said, "I saw that peasant give you a carrot and you gave him 100 acres. I gave you a horse. You're not giving me anything." And the king looked at the nobleman in the eyes and he said, "The peasant gave the gift to me. You gave the gift to yourself." And that is, in a nutshell, what we're going to look at today. And it's the conflict that occurs in our life. It can happen here in December as we go out and give gifts. I'll piggyback that with another illustration. My brother had this idea and he gave a sermon last December at our church, and he said, "You know what I'd like everybody to do is you buy a gift and you put all kinds of thought into it, and you write a note or a card with it, and you give that gift to in your family. Everybody's going to give one to someone, and you're going to say, you know, here, this gift symbolizes you, and here's why." So we're having lunch at my mom's right after that sermon, and they wouldn't care if I share this. My brother's wife said, "You just made every single female mad." He goes, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Because that's what we do for every gift." And now that you think you got this idea, you're telling her to do it. Okay, well, fast forward. We decide to try it in our extended family. And, oh, my goodness. It starts out my teenage nephew got my youngest daughter's name, and he's reading what he has for her, what he wrote for her, and he breaks down. This is like a tough teenage boy, okay? My brother gets me, kind of wrote me a poem almost. It was like a political speech, and he framed it. And he got me my basketball jersey as a symbol. And it, I mean, I'm breaking down. Everybody's breaking down. My mom finally gets to my mom. And she's got my new son-in-law's name. And she thought it was going to be more of a joke. And everybody had cried. She got him a flashlight and said something like, "He's so bright, we call him Sonny." I mean, it was just, it wasn't that, but it was something like that. And she goes, "Here, cry." But it was so intense. Mm-hmm. It was amazing because everybody gave the gift to the other person and not to themselves. Oh my goodness. I got to give you another illustration. My dad had five, is the oldest of five boys and two girls. And I remember as a kid going to Christmas Eve to Grandpa Russell's, and all the, this is hilarious, all the brothers and sisters, the adults, his children, would open their gifts, and they would all be the same thing. I remember them. This is hilarious. They're all open like their pots and pans kind of thing. And my dad opens this big, long box. As a kid, you know, you the shape of the box and the size means something. So I'm intrigued. I'm watching everything. I'm watching everybody open their pots. But my dad, he's opening something big. Long. And it is one of the most beautiful, I think it was a Weatherby rifle. And so I was going crazy there, but I don't say a whole lot more. But I'm thinking about the comparison. We go on the way home. Now, my dad is one of the most gifted politicians. He's met with every president since Lyndon Johnson down to George W. I believe that's the distance. It's just amazing. He's a gifted politician. So on the way home, I'm probably nine. I say, "Hey, Dad." "What?" I said, "I notice all your brothers and your sisters got pots and pans, but you got this big, expensive rifle. Why does Grandpa Russell get you a much better present than everybody else?" And he kind of laughs. He goes, "Oh, I give him a little extra money and tell him to get me what I want him to give me." How many? I got so many stories on giving the gift to yourself. I can't take it. So anyway, 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." I look at my life, and from about growing up in the church three times a week, but from about 18 to 27, I used the gift he had given me to serve myself, no question. Mm-hmm. And I used others to do that as well. So got it twisted. So here's what I would ask. Would those closest to you describe you as greedy or generous? We're designed to be generous with our gifts of time, talent, and treasure. This is in the context, by the way, of hospitality, which hospitality in the Middle East and in Palestine 2,000 years ago is that you're taking care of everything for the person. It's a much bigger thing than we think. We think it's being Southern hospitality. Mm. How are you today? You know, that kind of thing. But God desires that we use our gifts to serve, faithfully administering divine grace, His undeserved love, His unmerited favor in its various forms. God wants to use our gifts receive vertically to serve those horizontally, a picture of the cross, so that they connect vertically with the grace of the generous one. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to give the gifts to ourselves. Hmm. This is interesting to me. This might have come up earlier in the year. The word generous and generate come from the same Latin word, which means race or kind. So generous means giving, and generate means, I might have a typo in the worksheet there, Lynn. Or I might have bumped it, means multiply. So consequently, generosity multiplies giving in the human race. I want to say that again. Generosity multiplies giving in the human race. We trust in God's principle of replenishment. God wants us to multiply our gifts. Man, I either bumped a bunch of things on mine or we got two typos. And I went through this a couple times. Do you see that? Do I have a God apostrophe S?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
We'll fix it.
I had on Live the Word. Mm-hmm. I noticed on my iPad I had Wordy, and it liked it. And I thought, oh, no. And then I went back and I bumped it. Where were we? God wants us to multiply our gifts through us to generate generosity in others. The true test of our generosity comes when we use our time, talent, treasure to serve others rather than ourselves. So, at the opposite end from generosity is greed. Whereas a generous heart is open and recognizes God as the provider, a greedy heart remains closed. And Jesus warned against greed. This is mm-hmm. to me, one of the most interesting verses he's ever given on possessions and material things. He said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I remember a guy that used to come to my collector car auctions. Good guy. But he had a jacket that said, he who dies with the most toys wins. And that's kind of what, you know, Jesus is referencing here. So God says in Deuteronomy that greed flows from a hard heart to a tight fist. But generosity flows from a soft heart to an open hand. God's design aligns the heart with our three resources of life. Rather than being hard-hearted or tight-fisted with our resources, God's desire is that we be soft-hearted and open-handed. Because when we're generous, God renews our hearts with His in order to reflect the generosity of our Redeemer. God is generous. So I'd invite you today to memorize 1 Peter 4:10. It's pretty easy to memorize, and it is so applicable. I'd recite it each day for the next month as you pray for God's generous heart to fill your life. Probably should say to flood your life.
Mm-hmm. Can you have a generous heart if you don't trust God?
No. I think it goes back to trusting him for his principle of replenishment. Elijah and Elisha both had examples of this. They're in Kings, of knowing that God would replenish what they were giving. And I think that's the bottom line, is do you trust in that? That was my biggest challenge, whether or not I trusted God and his principle of replenishment. It's challenging. You think, mm-hmm. I think of one example in owning a business. So if you're listening today and you own a business, you might relate to this. I had a Christian banker come to me and tell me that he would give me a credit line so I could buy the collections that people wanted to sell knowingly at a discount. I would tell them they'll bring this in auction, but they would sell them for far less just to have a quick, quiet, easy sale. They're all gone in an hour or in one day, and then you can go do whatever you want. You can have an auction. You know, I understand that. And then he also was willing to lend me the money to develop the auction park in every aspect that I wanted to, but would have to take a while to do that. So I'm really struggling because I thought God told me to be debt free. And I don't think it's a sin to borrow money. Well, let me just tell you what happened. Larry Burkett was having some problem with his eyes, and he had restored a 56 Thunderbird convertible, and he called me and wanted to sell it. So I suggested that he bring it to our Atlanta auction. I knew Truett Cathy would be there, who owned Chick-fil-A. I thought mm-hmm. Truett would buy it. Didn't know for sure, but, you know, he didn't have to be the only guy to buy it. So I said, hey, Larry, while I got you on the phone, can I ask you a question? He goes, sure. And so I told him about my dilemma. Do I borrow the money, blah, blah, blah. He said, Mitchell, borrowing money is not a sin. I said, do you say that on your radio show?
I was going to say, that wasn't the message he gave on his radio program.
He said, but I'm going to tell you this. If I ever thought God told me to be debt-free, there's no way I'd borrow a dime because I'd be robbing God of the blessing he intends for me. And is that me? Did I make that noise?
Yes, I think so.
What?
Well, you didn't personally. I think it was your iPad.
I must have
had
the music up really loud. This is a very interesting day today on my iPad. Did that really come from my iPad?
It came from your side of the room.
Because it says it's mute.
I don't know. Maybe it's your phone.
Let's look at that. Did I drop it? No.
It's all right.
I think
it's
Jesus is trying to say something to us. Anyway. So we have a great relationship today, but maybe I lost a little credibility with a banker when I didn't do it.
Hmm.
Well, out of the blue, one of the biggest corporations in the United States decides they want to, and I had worked on it, but I didn't think it was coming to fruition, decides that they want to be a title sponsor for my events. And they want to do it for a multi-year commitment. And we're going to have increases, and I meet with them. And all that happened like in a few weeks. Okay, it's all tied together in my mind, my prayers, my daily activity. And I felt like this, every once in a while, I feel like this prompting from the Holy Spirit. It's almost like it's on your chest. There's this impression. And I felt like God was telling me, you can trust me. There are a lot of different ways to do this deal, and you don't have to get the money in the ways that you think, you know, to be able to operate and to expand and do all this thing. The reason I share that is what you asked is absolutely true, and whoever's listening today, no matter what situation you're in, whether you have 10 million, 100 million, or you're minus 10 million, or you might be filing bankruptcy, or whether you won the lottery, it's the same thing. You have to trust the giver and not the gifts.
Hmm. Phone lines are open for your questions now for Dr. Mitch Cruz. Could be about something we've discussed this morning. You might have a question about a particular passage of Scripture, maybe something even about the Christmas story. Maybe you want some advice on applying the Bible to a situation in your life as a parent, a wife, a husband.
I love those.
A boss. A neighbor, a son, a daughter. Phone lines are open at 260-745-9090. 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org and Facebook too. 90.3 WBCL thanks to area businesses that team with you to support us, like Lenawee Christian School in Adrian, partnering with families and churches to see students drive toward their full potential. You can find out more on our business partners page at wbcl.org.
My good friend John DeLine co-founded Lenawee Christian School with Mr. Merrillat. Yep,
wonderful. It's an interesting story that the Merrillats began it because they wanted their girls to go to a Christian school, mm-hmm. so they would build it depending on what grades they were in, mm-hmm. and it's had an impact on so many people's lives.
He went and found the best public school administrator who was a believer.
Really,
yeah, it rocked John's world, and John's been an amazing tool or instrument for God since. It was before too.
260-745-9090, 260-745-9090. Is it just me, Peggy Sue, are we having issues with the phones this morning? Okay, I'm seeing names over lines, but no lines lit, so...
Hey, it could be I got everything on mute.
Do you?
And it's beeping, so...
Okay, because there are names here, but it doesn't appear. Let's see if they're there, because I don't have any indication that there's actually somebody on a line. So let's give it a shot, Peggy Sue. Let's see if we can get line one on the air.
Line one on the air. Line one on the air. Line
that's
one on
fine.
The air.
And irritating on top of it. Irritating on top of it. Irritating on top of
it. It must be that Santa on the
whoa.
House.
So obviously, Dan, if you're listening, or Dan, if you can go get Dan, and just let him know we're having some phone issues. So if you want to call your question in, Dana's going to have to write it down. Or email is a better way to go.
Yeah.
MidmorningLive@WBCL.org. We had phone issues yesterday where we couldn't use the phones at all and had to scoot into a different studio.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
In the middle of a show?
Right at the start. So we had no theme. So I started the show with, hello.
Hello.
I believe we're live right now. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I love technology, but sometimes it really is a frustration. But anyway, if you've got a question for Mitch, I really would love for you to have a chance to ask that. MidmorningLive@WBCL.org, Facebook too. Phones, you can call it in. Dana will write it down, and she'll pass those questions on to us. Mitch, anything else about our verse this morning of 1 Peter 4:10, as we usually talk about living the Word? One of the things you want to focus on is surrendering our time.
Yes. Three pictures, your calendar, your business card, and your checking account. So we need to surrender our time. And I'd invite you to pull out your calendar if you're driving, you can do that later. But what appointments have you set for the next week? And just look at that for a minute and ask God about it. And is it about busyness or is it about relationships? Are you trusting in the gift of time for your own selfish benefit or are you trusting in the giver? I remember looking at my calendar and thinking, wait a minute, I'm using my gifts to serve myself. How would it look different if I allow God to reclaim every appointment? And it began this pursuit of wisdom in those appointments as opposed to money. People instead of profit, relationships instead of remuneration. Now, one way to go with that is to act like we need to be a floor mat and we just let everybody do whatever they want and they run all over us. There is a, Charlie Sewell wrote a book, he's a mega car dealer, that's how he runs his business. He does whatever the customer asks, don't even give it a second thought. Well, I thought about, because my business is similar, I thought about, well, could I do that? And I'm studying Proverbs at the time, and I think Proverbs teaches us to be wise stewards. So if you know that the foolish guy is coming in and he's going to, if you did everything that he wanted you to do, mm-hmm. that pretty soon you wouldn't have any business, then I think you got to be wise about that. But anyway, your calendar, surrender your time, create everything to be about, every appointment to be about relationships and advancing the heart of Christ as opposed to advancing your own kingdom. Your business card. So examine the use of your talent. Have you misused for greed what God intended for generosity? Think about that for a minute. Every gift that we have is for God to multiply generosity in us. So you don't have to be employed in full-time church or ministry to worship God with your work. Ask Him to make your career a ministry. So maybe grab your business card underneath the title, right, surrendered, and carry it with you as a reminder of your desire to be generous with your talent. If you're a stay-at-home mom, or if you don't have a business card, in essence, just take a little card and write the word surrendered on it and carry that around as a reminder. And then next, keep a journal of any Holy Spirit promptings that will use your talent to generously serve others, faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms. So here's what I mean. As you're praying, this would happen to me. As I would pray for each upcoming auction, in my mind, I'd go through my calendar almost 6 months, sometimes a year in advance. And then I'd walk through my office. And so I would pray for the people involved in those events. And then I'd walk through my office in my mind as I was praying, and I'd pray for each single person. And as I would do that, ideas would come to me. So I went running to my uncle who was mentoring me for about a decade, and I said, hey, when I pray, ideas come to me. Do you think that means I should do those? And he said, try it and see. So I started to try it, and I started becoming this rapid Holy Spirit responder. And I couldn't believe what happened out of those things. And again, yeah. It wasn't to give the gift to myself. So ask a wise and trusted friend to help you implement strategies to achieve your spirit-prompted objectives. It's going to happen. You're going to pray, and ideas are going to come to you, and they're going to be consistent with the Word of God, the people of God, the Spirit of God. And you're going to take a risk with God, and you're going to get to see the blessing that He has in store for you. That's where ideas like being debt-free and things like that came from you.
Let me just add, before you moved, I think you've just wrapped up, what I hear you say, Mitch, if anybody has felt like, I wish the Lord would speak to me the way He speaks to Mitch, or I wish I saw Him in my life more, or whatever. Maybe there's somebody else that you know that, maybe it's a friend of yours or an author that you read. When you have those moments of actually sort of being mindful and asking the Lord, the more you do that, the more you recognize that He is there, you mm-hmm. know? So that's the way yeah. that's the way to interact with Him. It's one of the things that makes Lent such a wonderful practice.
Yeah.
You know, that if you give something up as you're missing it throughout the day, then you know, say, Lord, let me know You. And after a while, that becomes a habit. And mm-hmm. it's in that exchange that He talks to you or gives you direction mm-hmm. or you just sense His presence. And that's a very biblical thing. It's the way that He wants to relate to us in relationship.
A wonderful guy worked with as a pastor when I was at Blackhawk. I said, look, I just don't want to be a place about programs. I want it to be about people. I said, I almost wonder if our only program should be a small group. And he said this very wisely, Mitchell, every program should be a catalyst to help people implement whatever that practice is in all of their lives for their life, for their lifetime. And I agree with that. I like that a lot. It's just what you said. You guys are both very wise, and I'm just riding your coattails.
Let's get to your phone calls this morning. 260, this is to call and ask a question. You can do that. I'm not going to, I think, as I'm looking at my phones, do funny things. I think the mothership is hovering ahead of us and interfering with our phone lines.
That's Santa.
You can call and ask a question. Dana will write it down and get it to us in the studio.
No,
you
I
can
see
email
him looking
us.
At me over there.
Midmorning Live at WBCL.org, Facebook as well. This is from Candy, and she asked Mitch, she totally trusts that God can do anything. She just struggles to trust that he would do that for her. You know, when you read about leper in Mark,
yeah.
where he says, if you want to, mm-hmm. you can heal me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, I want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I get what Candy's saying. That's been my one of my, not struggles, but one of the things that I've sort of dealt with in my faith life, that it's not that I doubt that he can do something, but does he want to do it?
Hmm.
That's, so she's asking really for your guidance.
Well, he wants to, and so you should receive it. God wants to bless us so that we will be a blessing. Many theologians say that that is the theme of the scriptures because of Genesis 12 and what God tells Abraham. I'm going to bless you, and everybody's going to be blessed through you. Now, it's probably also a picture of Christ coming, but God wants to offer that for you. I think of, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, that my paraphrase, that God paid a world record price for you. Anybody on the planet can put their name in that. Mm-hmm. We have a tendency to think that God gave a subset, God gave a fraction of himself, but God gave everything in Christ for you and for me. And so that is the ultimate blessing, and we should take that gift of eternal life and abundant life and share that with others. I think everybody can evangelize. I think everybody can carry the message of Christ. I think it's so powerful. Everyone has relationships that are unique that not everyone else has. And to be used by that to say, you know, I'm going to let God use me for that. That could be incredible. For the gift of forgiveness, to forgive others into the kingdom, to release that forgiveness and see the freedom that that brings. For the gift of the junk that you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Paul writes, I believe in 2 Corinthians 4, that God uses all that suffering, all that junk, all the mistakes, all the consequences, everything that we've gone through to be able to go help people in similar situations. I was with a single mom last night, and she is a believer, and she's growing rapidly. You tell me something she should read, I give it to her, and she reads it. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she told me last night, women who are getting divorced, have been divorced, who are struggling, are coming to me like crazy. And I said, oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked through that. What about using that gift to faithfully administer God's grace in its various forms? I mean, it's amazing. Yes. The gift of the suffering that we've received and gone through, and the endurance, the gift of the forgiveness. It's amazing when we start seeing everything coming from God that we can pay forward.
And I would guess that you've experienced this too, but in doing that, in giving the grace that God has given to us, that he gifts us with even more healing. It's the continuation of the blessing that he's given to us. It's not why we do it, but it's...
Right.
God's economy is just so different from ours.
It is.
So different from ours.
It really is.
Eileen says, when you trust God, you're more aware of his continued blessings and all he's doing, and she's really enjoying Mitch's perspective on trust and generosity. We've got about 15 minutes left in our conversation with Mitch, and if you've got a question about anything, about the Bible or what it means to be a follower in this day and age, ask away. Midmorning Live at WBCL.org, and Facebook is another way that you can ask your questions this morning. All right, Nick says he would like a house and a pond with a couple of acres. How do you separate having joy in things and not idolizing them? And what determines the line?
Love that. It's whether you own them or they own you. It's real simple. My dad actually is one of the greatest pictures of this. My dad has had an amazing life and has had about everything materially that you could have. But I was with him one time alone, and we were talking over something along this nature. And I said, Dad, the difference between you and most people is you own the stuff. The stuff never owned you. My dad could be content in a double wide on a pond for the rest of his life and look back and feel okay. Part of that's because his dad said his will was going to read, being of sound mind, I broke even. You know, the Bible's really clear. We come with nothing, we leave with nothing. I do think ownership is designed by God, and it's when authority and responsibility are equal. Authority without responsibility is supremacy. Responsibility without authority is slavery. But God has designed that authority and responsibility would be equal in ownership. So I think you can be a really great steward, but you hold it with an open hand and a soft heart, and then it doesn't own you. When it starts affecting the relationships of those closest to you and those around you, then you know it's starting to own you. That's really the defining moment. Does it enhance relationships? Kind of the same thing of what I tell my girls on how I'm going to judge a relationship with a boy. I said, here's how I'm going to discern whether this is a good thing or not. Are you ready? They said, sure. I said, does it improve your grades? Their eyes get real big. I said, does it improve your relationship with your parents? Their eyes get bigger. Mm-hmm. I said, does it improve your relationship with your sisters? They start looking around, looking up. I said, does it improve your athletic performance? Okay. Does it improve your relationship with God? And when they start seeing that's how we're seeing it, mm-hmm. they start approaching it a little bit differently if you catch them early enough.
Good approach.
And so those are the things you really got to ask about everything that you do. I don't think a guy sinning when he buys a car for $10 million, a classic car or a piece of artwork. I know so many people like that give it away, that maybe double their money 10 or 20 years down the road and give a whole bunch of that away. Again, the stuff doesn't own them. They own and steward the stuff. You go through the Bible and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Job. I mean, you just go down the line of these people that had a lot of money. But what's interesting is when God came to the earth, who owns everything, he didn't really have to have anything. He was free from that. But it's the other thing to go with that you got to think about is he worked in vocational ministry his entire life except for 1 to 3 years. However, scholars differ on whether Jesus' ministry was 1 to 3 years. And so I think it's probably three, but you got to think about that. Mm-hmm. He had marketplace ministry his whole life.
Nick, thank you for that question.
Thank you.
This is from Teresa. She says, when people talk about being blessed or when we usually declare God as good, it's usually when good things have happened. Mm-hmm. What about when someone has recently been diagnosed with a terminal illness and they are fighting for their life, or someone has experienced a tragedy in their life? What would your response be to someone who has asked this?
2 weeks ago, I had Rod Eagleson on my television program. And Rod has been diagnosed with malignant melanoma, and he doesn't know if he has months or years to live, 2 years or a few months. What I've watched God do through Rod, the joy that he's given him, Rod looked at it like this. Huh. Well, if my time's limited, I want to do everything I can to impact as many for Christ, and I want to do anything I can to take care of my girls, my two girls. So God has used Rod in business transactions. God has used Rod. I'll give you just a real quick story. Rod came to me one day at church. He goes to another church, but he visits County Line because he goes to my uncle's Sunday school class. And he said, Mitch, my mom and dad don't go to church, but they watch your television program. He said, can you go to their house and pray with them to surrender their lives to Christ?
He was jumping to the big thing, not get to know them, build a relationship with them.
Well, he's got limited time.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So this is how he's doing
it. He wants to know
it.
Before he right. might die. Yes.
So I said, oh, Rod, why don't you do that? And I don't want to rob you of that blessing. He says, well, I just feel like prompted that they're going to respond to you. So I said, well, my daughter plays a high school volleyball match in your hometown where they live. If I don't get there before then, I'll do it then. So everything kind of worked. I mean, you start getting a day away from that. You're thinking, am I going to do that? Am I going to drive up to somebody's house and say, hey, you know? So it all kind of like unfolds.
Well, if you say it like that, no.
It all kind of unfolds the way that it needs to for me to feel confident that I'm going to go do that. So I go. I'm by myself. That's part of it. Yeah, I didn't have to take anybody with me to the game. So that's part of it. I pull in their driveway. Rod did tell him I was coming. He said, now go to the side door and don't let the cat bite you. I go, Rod, are you joking? I go, I am not going to be bitten by any animal. We're talking about heaven here, but I ain't getting bitten by no animal. He goes, oh, no, he won't. I mean, he bit me once. I said, Rod, are you being serious? So I go up to this. I see the evil cat, and I go up to the side door, and they smile. I go, we recognize you. Come on in. And I thought, oh, I'm away from the cat. So I come in. I sit down. And I brought him an autographed copy of my book. Kind of broke the ice. And we just start talking. And I had one of the most natural conversations I've ever had. I've prayed with a lot of people surrendering their lives to Christ. This was so natural, so simple. They break down and they each pray individually to surrender their lives to Christ. And they released kind of what they had been holding on to right there in that moment. And they shared it with me. We get all done. It's like, man, we experience God. You said, oh, like you almost don't know what to do. And they said, we just made some goulash. You want to stay and have dinner with us? And again, the timing's right. I got perfect timing on getting my daughter's game. I have goulash. I have homemade cornbread. I have the homemade jam, the homemade applesauce. I eat with them. I leave and I tell Rod, your mom and dad surrendered their lives to Christ. I can't believe this. Mm. I go to the game. And I go and I take a picture of a team on the wall because a friend of mine is on that team and he has beautiful long hair and today he has a shaved head. So I'd send him a little text and to a mutual friend of ours, they're all in the group text, hey, he looks good with or without hair. So I walk across the gym to do that. I walk across back to my seat and a lady comes up to me and she said, my daughter told me not to do this, but are you Mitch Cruz? And I said, yeah. She said, well, I saw you go take that picture. And I told my daughter, that's Mitch Cruz. And she goes, I'm going to go talk to him. She goes, don't. And she said, I listen to you on WBCL. I'm thinking, do you watch my show? And she goes, and I watch you on TV. I go, whew. I said, hey, so I know she's a believer. I said, you got to hear what just happened to me. So I tell her the whole story I just told you. She said, was that Rod Eagleson? I said, yeah. She goes, he went to school here. I've been praying for him. I've been praying for him every day. I've been praying for him. I said, and when I talked about his parents, she said, Bruce and Julie? She goes, I've been praying for him. And she said, I prayed for Julie in the grocery this week. Mm. And then she said, how are they going to get discipled? And I said, I've been thinking about that the whole way here. I said, you're it. And she invited them to church. They've gone. I've gotten amazing emails from her. Her name's Teresa. I've gotten amazing email from Rod's mom. Lynn, this is incredible. So the answer to the question is, God can bring so much joy in that valley. And every one of us has a limited time, and we can decide, as I've encountered Zach Birch and other people who have mm-hmm. gone through this, every one of us has that same limited time, and we can have the same joy right now, win, lose, or draw. Whatever's going on, we can have that every moment.
Wow. There's just so much I could say about that story. Mm-hmm. You told it to me the last time you were here, and... No.
It's indelible.
No. You told it on the way down the hallway yeah. when you mm-hmm. were leaving the building. And it was just so convicting to me that we... I often live my life in a way of, you know, this day's already full enough.
Right, me too.
You know, this is already full enough.
Yeah.
So almost, please don't add anything to this day, Lord.
Yes.
And yet, our hearts cry to know God... is answered in these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to just... He could just download knowledge of who he is. But he wants us to experience him, to know him.
Yeah.
And those experiences happen by doing life with him, just like they do in any other relationship.
Exactly.
And for you, well, you know, because you have such an outgoing personality and an understanding of the word, that for you to say, yeah, I'll go talk to your parents, that seems a natural thing for mm-hmm. the Lord to ask you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, two things could have happened. You could have said to yourself, I got this. I know what to say. You know, mm-hmm. this is my first time. I know what I'm doing mm-hmm. here. Or you could have said, I have no idea how this is going to... I don't mm-hmm. want to go because
I might be getting bitten by the cat.
Yeah, I don't know what mm-hmm. I'm doing. And yet, your response was, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and give the message of you, God. And then you're going to take it from
yes.
there.
That's what happened.
You're going to be in the message, and you're going to take the message and do what you want with it.
Yeah, it's just, I told Rod afterwards when I called him, I said, we are all riding your Holy Spirit wave. and there's just miracle after miracle like that that's happening around Rod. And Rod may not be healed on this side. He could be. Mm-hmm. But he is on the other for sure. So it's what we do in the interim. You know, one thing I should have said, when it comes to your calendar, you have those in your agenda, and then you have agenda adjusters. You have to be willing to surrender to God in both.
We were talking about idols earlier, and I want to make sure we get this question because it may have something to do with finals this week for our friend here who's writing as a Christian.
Maybe my daughter.
How do we view grades? Can they become an idol?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know where to draw the line on how much time to dedicate to grades?
Well, I would go back to that relationship concept. In essence, grades, points, parts in the play, those are our picture of money as an adult. So it's really how we're being measured and how we're keeping score as students. I think we have an obligation to God for excellence. Excellence is doing the best with what you have, recognizing your liabilities and your assets. Perfection is not what he's asking. And that's flawlessness, and that's not going to happen. If you're getting ulcers over a 98, then maybe it's owning you. If you're staying up till 1, 2 in the morning as a high school student and getting up at 6 and your health is suffering, maybe you got to figure something else out. I sat with a superintendent one time when I was at a public school when I was giving a scholarship away. And you would see, he made a comment to me, you can see how a kid is different who has sold their life out to grades versus one who's balanced and has all kinds of activities and relationships and other things going on in their lives. And that's, there is a big difference when you encounter those people. There's a huge difference. And it usually comes down to a task-orientedness. Now, you might have heard me say that and think, well, I don't need to study for the final. I think that dishonors God. So it really comes down to whether you own the final or the final owns you. Same thing that we've been talking about in every single gift that we've received.
Dr. Mitch Cruz has been our guest today. He joins us the third Tuesday of every month, and I'm just thrilled to say he's coming back in 2016 and figuring out what we're going to talk about. But it's always just a joy to have him with us because he is an example of what it means to follow Christ, but he's also just a dear friend that says, I love you and I want you to know Jesus, and I'm going to share with you what God's poured into my life. So we're so grateful for you, Mitch. We wish you the merriest of Christmases, as we do for all of you listening. If you'd like to re-listen to today's show or send someone else to it, it'll be on the Mid-Morning Archive later today. The BCL app allows you to take the station with you, but also to download podcasts, including Mid-Morning. So that's something you'll want to know about. And the worksheets for today up on our website, wbcl.org. Click on Programs, then Mid-Morning, Regular Guests, then Mitch. And sounds like a lot, but you'll follow the prompts. It's easy to do. Thanks for listening today. Tomorrow it's We Wednesday, so it's Peggy, Sue, and me, and you, because that's what makes it we. Stay tuned, Kent's next on Family Friendly and Commercial Free, WBCL.